As we wrap up this series, we've been talking through Malachi, chapter 1, chapter 2. We're going to be in chapter 3. The hurricane got chapter 4. Sorry about that. But hopefully you still have it in your Bibles and you can check it out there. But in this whole series has been about God trying to reach the Israelites. The Israelites are another name for God's people. If we, the church, consider ourselves to be God's people, then it is just as applicable today as it was 2,000 years ago when it was written. And so it was God. Actually, it goes back about 2,500 years ago. Goes back to the last book of the Old Testament, the last prophet for God to speak through until it was time for the birth of Christ, and he spoke through John the Baptist. And so we're asking the question, if God was not happy, why was he unhappy with the Israelites? He was unhappy with them because they were just going through the motions. Don't raise your hand. Anybody been just going through the motions? You know, we just kind of go through the motions. We get up, we go to church, we do this, we do that. We try to read our Bible. We forget sometimes, but then we remember other times. And so sometimes it just feels like we're just going through the motions, trying to live until we die. And the fact is, sometimes God is saying, I need you to wake up. I need you to stop doing what you're doing. And this actually kind of ties in with Revelation. Anybody ever heard Revelation chapter 3? Malachi 3, Revelation 3. That's interesting. The end of the Old Testament, the end of the New Testament. And God says, I wish that you were cold or hot. As it is, you're lukewarm, and I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And so it's a wake-up call for us to say, God is paying attention. God is noticing how we are worshiping him. So the question as we go through this passage and through this whole series really is, God, how am I doing in my worship? How am I doing in my giving? How am I doing in my living? Am I just kind of going halfway? Am I guilty of the same thing the Israelites were? And if so, God, wake me up, slap me across the face, send the Holy Spirit upon me, send me your revival, because I don't want to go halfway. I want to be radical in my faith. All right, I wanted to do something different tonight because this can be one of the favorite passages for the pastors, and we love to get high and mighty, and we love to get hot on this one, and so it can be a very challenging one when we get to the part of, you know, how are we robbing you? Will you rob me in the tithes? And just like, man. He's talking about money. And just in case you just accidentally walked in this evening, you go, crap, this is the first time I've been here and he's talking about money. Are you kidding me? That's what all these churches are about. I'm going to tell you, that smells like smoke comes straight from the pit of hell. Okay? Because this is God. And it's God calling us out. But I thought, how can we do this, still get across the message, and have some fun along the way? In fact, I had to call my wife up. I said, wife, I need you to help me through my sermon this week because I want to do something that could be either terribly creative or just plain silly. And the verdict is still out until you all get to hear it. But Jesus many times wanted to make an important point. He told a story. It's called a parable. Has allegory in it where there are some connections. Not everything connects, but there are, the main points are there to make a connection with the people so it puts them in language that they can understand. So tonight, I have written for you the parable of the French fries. Okay? In fact, the title of this sermon is, you know, God Loves a Happy Meal. All right? So that tells you a little bit about where we're going. So here's the story about this. How many of you remember that commercial? It was a McDonald's commercial, and it's a Little League football team, and the coach is kind of giving them some encouragement along the way, and they go, ready, break. And one of the little guy looks up through his face mask, and he says, coach, can we go to McDonald's now? And he goes like, no, son, we have to play the game first. Isn't that the way kids are? It's like, forget football. Let's just go to McDonald's. Let's go. Well, it's one of my favorites because, honestly, growing up in the early 60s, this was one of the first going out to eat specials that we could do. We were not a wealthy family. We didn't frequent all the expensive places. But even growing up with my grandparents and great-grandparents, it was one of the first places I remember my grandmother, who didn't take us anywhere, taking us to McDonald's and remembering what a treat it really was. So let's fast forward from the game. We're going to call the little boy Billy. And Billy has played his heart out in the game. Dad is so excited and proud of his little boy. And so where do they go? They head off to McDonald's after the game together. And Dad goes up to the counter with little Billy, and they order a Happy Meal. And he gets it and takes it back to the table. And Dad is just sitting back, just beaming. Have y'all ever had that moment with your kids where you just love just watching your kids? And as Billy opens his Happy Meal, he just unloads everything out of the Happy Meal and places it around the table. These are all his treasures, all his things, and he is just in his element. He is so excited. He's had a football game. Now he's hanging out with Dad at McDonald's, and he's got a Happy Meal. It just doesn't get any better than this. Can I say amen? Amen? All right, so he's got everything before him, and then he starts taking a bite of his fries. How many of you remember the old French fries from McDonald's, the ones with the real good fat? Yeah? Oh, man. For those of you new people, you know, yeah, they took all the good stuff out when they changed the oil that they used. We really liked the old ones, but man, it was just like a moment. It was an experience to taste one of their French fries and that salty goodness, and it had a beef flavor in it. There's the secret for the old ones. And so Dad's looking at Billy, and he's just enjoying his French fries. When you all go through fast food, what do you eat first? The fries, right? So Billy went right for his fries, and he's enjoying the fries. Dad's enjoying Billy, enjoying the fries. And then Dad does what Dads want to do, and Dad just reaches over to sneak some. And all of a sudden, the whole mood changes because Billy goes... He puts his little arms out to guard all of his treasures. And the dad recoils, and he thinks to himself, now hold on here, little buckaroo. We were having a moment here. We were enjoying some time together. And obviously, in the 4 minutes since you placed your order, you forgot that I'm the one who drove you here. You have forgotten that I'm the one who pulled out my wallet and forked over that hard-earned cash to get you your little Happy Meal, and I'm the one that owns everything. And besides that, guess what, little guy? Look at your arm. Look at my arm. I can take any of those fries anytime I want. You have forgotten yourself, and you've forgotten who I am. Have you ever had that moment with your kids where you wanted them to respond one way and they responded the other way, and you want to say, no, no. Can you make the connection here? Our Heavenly Father is the one who gives us everything. And instead of us being willing to share, if you don't like sharing, don't go out to eat with my family. Because we share everything. In fact, if two people order the same thing, we go, oh, no, 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 no. Okay, you get that. I'll get this so we can share. We share everything. And God says, I've given you everything. We were having a moment. It was called your lifetime. We were having a special moment together, and I provided everything for you. And then, like this little boy, you've just stuck your arms out and said, mine. These are my treasures, my things, and I don't want to share any of them. In our passage today, the Israelites had forgotten that God was the provider of all. They took ownership of their possessions out of lack of respect or fear that they'll not have enough. They failed to bring the full portion of the tithes, I did say tithes, back into God's house. So let's take a look at our passage, Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. And oddly enough, it's entitled, Robbing God. He writes, I, the Lord, do not change. I'm going to go off on a tangent on another sermon right here, because some people think God has changed. What does it say right here in Malachi? I do not change. Remember that 1,000 years is just like a blink of an eye for God, and a blink of an eye is 1,000 years. He is outside of our time. And so nothing that's happening in the world today confuses him or catches him off guard or surprises him. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is the eternal one, the one who came before, the one who will be there long after. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But how are we to return? Will a man rob God? And yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And here's the blessing. Listen to this. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. And then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, and says the Lord Almighty. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So let's take a look at our outline this evening. All right, so number one is that and I'm going to stick with the parable all the way throughout here. So if anybody ever gets your outline, it's like, what the heck is your pastor teaching you at your church? Well, here's number one. He taught us God is the source of all fries. Okay? God is the source of everything. God is the source of all fries. In Genesis chapter 22:14 says, so Abram called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. So if you want to go back to the very beginning, if you want to go back to the Big Bang, if you want to go back all the way, ex nihilo, out of nothing, God created everything. He created the heavens. He created the earth. He created the universe. He created you. He created me. He created everything. And sometimes we want to be like little Billy and go, no, mine. These things are mine. I worked hard for them. I went to school. I got my job. And God says, yeah, who gave you the work? Who gave you the opportunity? Who gave you the gifts? Who gave you the food? Who gave you the wisdom? Who gave you the knowledge? Who gave you the sun? Who gave you the moon? Who gave you? You get my point? Everything goes back to God as being the source and the provider. And so the interesting thing is, if you're new with us, that a tithe is 10%. We're supposed to bring the first 10% right into God's storehouse, and we will have so much blessing. Can I take time out for a praise, by the way? If you didn't get our email this week, I was concerned, and I said, oh, me of little faith, because we missed an entire week of church. That means we missed an entire week of offerings. But guess what? Everybody still wants an entire week of bills to be paid. And I was like, oh my goodness. And we've got all these hurricane stuff. People are buying supplies. They don't have any money. And then we're collecting for all these other people. And we're going to be short. And we're going to get, and we're not going to. And you know what? The people gave way over and above over that 2 week period. Can we just celebrate right that? I mean, man. I want to tell you how much as a pastor that means. Go, yes, you know, and mainly because of what we're talking about tonight. Giving is a spiritual thing. It has nothing to do with the finances, has nothing to do with fries. It has nothing to do with anything else other than our relationship with God, and we want to see the kingdom of God grow, all right? So in Genesis, it's remembering that that God is the provider of everything. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33, Jesus tells us not to worry. How many of you are worriers? And I've got my hand up, not just so you'll raise your hand, but my hand is up. And God says, knock it off. You're worried about stuff you cannot control. You can't control hurricanes. You can't control tornadoes. You can't control sinkholes. You can't control anything else. So just think about the things that you can control and leave the worrying to me. And here's what Jesus says. He says, don't worry, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans, if you don't know that word, pagans are the ungodly people, the people who didn't believe in God. The pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, I know many of you probably have heard prosperity gospel pastors. I am not one of them. I have not seen the blessing. I have been a tither for 25 years now, and I want to tell you, it's always tight at the end of the month. And yet, I feel blessed every time I have the opportunity to give out of my thanksgiving for God and for the gifts that he has given me. And so, but I want you to hear that there are blessings that are not worldly necessarily, okay? Jesus said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He didn't own a house. He didn't own a castle. He walked around in sandals and bare feet and a robe. And he said, and he told the disciples, even when you go out, don't even take extra sandals. If you need sandals, maybe somebody will give you something along the way. You just go and carry the word of God everywhere you go. So he says, don't worry about these things. Many of the things, if we're honest, and God knows whether you're being honest or not, many of the things we think about 98% of the day have to do with worldly kinds of things. What about my IRA? What about my health insurance? Where are we going to eat tonight? What are we going to wear tomorrow? We need to go shopping. We need to do this. We need to. And we consume ourselves with all these worldly things. And God's saying, don't worry about that kind of stuff. That's not what you're supposed to focus on. Seek the kingdom of God, and you will have everything else that you need. I want to tell you that I have not always had an abundance, but I have always been provided for. We have always not had everything we want, but we have had everything that we need. Number two, God likes his fries hot. All right? We talked about it before. It said, when do you eat the fries? You eat them first. Why? Because they're only good when they're hot. Anybody here like a cold French fry? Ugh, no, they're terrible. If we're traveling and we go through a fast food place, my wife just knows, don't even hand me the burger yet. Hand over the fries. We got to get the fries out of the way because they're only good when they're hot. They're first things first. Exodus 23:19 says, bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. In Leviticus 23:10, it says, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I'm going to give you and you reap its harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain you harvest. Proverbs 3:9-10, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Genesis 4:3-5, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of his firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but not on Cain. On Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was angry and his face was downcast. What's the difference between Cain and Abel? Well, it was Abel who brought the first. Whatever it is, you don't have to be a farmer to figure this one out. It's not just about the first fruits of your crops. It's the first fruit of any kind of wealth or income that you get. Because too many times what we'll do is go through the month and say, now let's see if we have anything left over, and we'll throw the change into the offering plate at the church. And even if it turns out to be 10%, God's not happy with that. Why? Because it was an afterthought. It was like serving God cold fries. I don't want what's left over. I want the first ones. I want them coming off the line. I want them hot. I want them salty. And I like them crispy. But it's the first, the first, the first. I've shared with you all last year is that when my tithe, actually, since I work at the church, it comes right out of my paycheck before it ever touches my bank account. Why? Because I will spend it. That's why. And I want it out of my, because here's what I feel like, is that's not my money. It's not my money. That's God's money. And so it's the first fruits. It's when you get the paycheck. You don't sit down and pay the rent, the mortgage, the car, the insurance, you know, the grocery bill, and then see what you have left over. It's looking at what you have. And as we're asking people to pledge for next year, say, okay, it's real easy. We're gonna show you a video that will help you do the math in just a little bit, okay? But it's saying the first fruits. We give to God first. We give the full tithe. We give 10%. Some pastors say that if you're not really tithing, some people just thought, if I give, that's tithing. No, the word tithe literally means 10%. If you're giving less than 10%, you're tipping. Tipping God. And yet, if we're tipping, I don't know about you, but when I'm going out, I give the waitress 20%. I give the waitress more than most people give to God. And so we have to bring the first fruits. Everything here was about first, first, first. Bring the first fruits. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Well, in our language, that means bring it into the church. Bring it into the kingdom of God. And let me say this, because I know people give to a lot of charitable places. And that's fantastic. But honestly, some of them are good places, not necessarily God places. Some of them are godly places. They're parachurch organizations or they're offshoots. But yet it was really for the building up of the kingdom of God. In this day, it was to go to the Levites. It was go to the priest. It was go to the widows, the poor, the orphans. It was so that we had enough for those who did not earn a wage or a living on their own. But to build up the kingdom of God, could you imagine what this church would be like if everybody tithed a full 10%. And that's one of the exciting things we're going to talk about in just a second. So number three, but let's talk about our attitude, all right? Number three, God loves a happy meal. Who doesn't love a happy meal? Now, some of you, if you buy a happy meal today, you might get excited because you get a little toy with it. But then you might go through that tiny little hamburger you get and the tiny little fries and go, I want more. But you hear what I'm saying is God loves a happy meal because he wants his people to be joyful. Let's go back to our parable for just a minute. Dad was enjoying the time. He was glad. And really, it's just a few pennies to buy a happy meal. And in fact, if you go down to McDonald's and you tell them Pastor Greg sent you and you give them $4, you can get a happy meal. Amen. I did try to get something from them, but yeah, it didn't work out so well. So I decided we could send you down there, you can get one. But here's the point of the happy meal. With Billy, Dad was enjoying the time. He enjoyed buying good things for his son. He enjoyed the time that they were sharing. But the many times that they started the sharing was suddenly it was cut off. And you can imagine how it hurts God. When he says, hey, I've enjoyed giving you everything. And then we turn around and go, mine, mine. We have a mentality of scarcity. If I give you some of mine, then I won't have enough for me. What about me? And God says, don't seek the worldly things. I will make sure you have everything you need. But seek ye first the kingdom of God And then you will have everything else. And so, my friends, I pray for each and every one of you that you will get to the place where the collection is not the most gut-wrenching time of the service. It's not something for you to just endure or get by. It's not something for you when the plate goes by and you don't have anything to put in it. You just pull your hand out of your pocket real quick, and then you just rubble it around and hope there's some change in there so it sounds like you're adding to it as it goes by. I have heard of people making change. You know, well, all I got's a 20. What you got any fives in there? Okay, you know, it's like, okay, come on, people. Where is the heart? God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 through 8 said, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. That's why we don't surprise you with our Stewardship Sunday, which is coming up next weekend. We send it out ahead of time to give you the opportunity to think about it and pray about it. And so that once you've prayed about it, you've settled in your heart, you don't have to be anxious about it ever again, because you and God have settled what you are going to do in your heart. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Giving is more about attitude and spirit than it has to do with money. God doesn't need our money. God's looking for a relationship with us. And then out of that relationship, he longs to give us even more. So number four, God longs to give endless fries. Anybody been to Red Robin? Oh, come on. I thought somebody would go, yum. And not only do they say, you want fries with that? They keep coming back saying, you want more fries with that? You want more fries with that? More? And then finally you just go, I'm about to bust. I can't eat anything else. But if fries is something for you that represents something that's so good and wonderful, understand when God says, test me in this, bring the full tithe into the storehouse and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven. Can you just imagine that? Can you just get excited about this just for a moment? Open the floodgates of heaven and pour down so much blessing upon you that you won't have enough to hold it. Do you know when they were building the original temple and they asked for an offering from the people and they brought what they had? They brought their gold. They had their silver. They had their jewels. And then it got so much that it didn't have any more room to put it in the storehouse. And they had to tell the people, please, please, we have no more room. Stop bringing us your gold. Stop bringing us your jewels, your diamonds, your rubies. We have more than enough. How many times have you been to church that says, stop, stop. We have more than enough. It's because we ain't got there yet. Everybody hadn't come together to bring it in. But man alive, what we could do if revival sweeps our hearts. It starts with us, as Sherry was saying, it starts with us and then spreads to others. And then suddenly it catches fire. And can you imagine, we could light this place up if everyone got connected with God.